Amen. Amen. Thank you, Caitlin, for the beautiful song, a song of praise to our Lord. Lord always deserves our praise, doesn't he? And may we each live a life of praise to him. Good morning to those who are in person and those who are online. Before we continue, if we can just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we do praise you this morning. Lord, this room is full of people that were once lost, living our lives away from you, Lord. There was a time, Lord, where this room is filled of people who asked you to be their Lord and Savior, bowed the knee, and asked you to forgive their sin based on what you did for us on the cross, Lord. Because of that, Lord, we are saved. We have hope in you. We know when we leave this world, we will enter heaven's gates. We know when we walk this earth, Lord, that you are with us every day, Lord, every moment. And so that's why we come to church, Lord. We come to honor you and praise you for the life you've given us. We come to honor and serve you, Lord. And so, Lord, every Sunday we have a song, and every Sunday we have a message, Lord. And the speaker knows, Lord, it is you who gives the message. It is you who guide it. Lord, nothing comes from our own knowledge or wisdom. Lord, it comes from you. So we ask that you would use this message in a mighty way, that you would guide the speaker and use it to be a blessing to all those that hear it, Lord. We pray all these things in your most precious and holy name. Amen. This month is Caitlin's and my wedding anniversary. 21 years of marriage. Still waiting for our first disagreement. Why is everybody laughing? You don't believe me? Well, it gets better. We're always on the same page. It's not that funny. We never get irritated with each other. Everything goes smooth in our household. Nothing ever breaks unexpectedly that needs to get fixed or replaced. We never get an unexpected bill to pay. That doesn't happen to us. Our insurance or HOA bill never goes up. If you have HOA bills, you know how that is. We have perfect health, no aches or pains. Injuries or illnesses never hit our home. We never get tired or exhausted. We're always full of energy and always in a good mood. Our jobs, oh, well, they're easy. My job, I don't have any stressful work meetings. My job's piece of cake. Homeschooling, Caitlin has that down pat. Never has any challenges teaching our children. Sorry, girls. Our children, well, they're perfect. They're angels. They take after dad. Caitlin wasn't supposed to hear that. She's supposed to be in Sunday school, but Heather switched with her. But let me continue to brag about my family. We're a perfect family. The four of us always get along. We have our white picket fence life, a life full of bliss. Everything has been easy for our home. Okay, I have to admit, I've exaggerated just a little bit. Because life is not easy. We wish it were. For those who remember 25 years ago in 2005, remember Staples? They had their Easy Button campaign. They still sell them for like 10 bucks. Right? They had a 30-second commercial that features a series of people in tough situations, pressing a red Easy Button to rescue them. Closing with the narration, "Wouldn't it be nice if there was an Easy Button for life? Now there's one for your business, Staples. That was easy." But don't we wish everything was easy, that we never have problems? When tough situations knock on your door, you can just press the red button and it would go away. It would be resolved. Everything would go smoothly. You can go on living life in peace and happiness. But that's not life. We go through a lot in our journey on earth. Life can be hard. We have our internal and external challenges. You will relate to these bullet points: health issues, work stress, financial responsibilities, conflict, change. People don't like change, but we have to deal with change. Tough decisions to make. The uncertainty of what's going to happen in the future. And the most difficult one of all are losses to loved ones. We have worries of the world. If you watch the news too much, it'll make you worry. But you hear about job security concerns. You hear layoffs for other companies, and you wonder if it's going to happen to you. How is AI going to affect us? The economy, the environment, the war. And it goes on and on. But we know life is always about periods of difficulty and adversity. But for the Christian, when it is hard, who do you have with you? Who lives in you? Who is by your side? Who carries you? Who will not leave you? The title of my message today is simply, When It Is Hard. When It Is Hard. And I have 4 points that have stuck out to me during my times of hard situations, things that I've experienced with the Lord. As I go over the 4 points today, I pray that this may be a blessing to you, may it encourage you. My 4 points are on the screen. When it is hard, 1, God's presence is still with you. 2, when it is hard, God is still in control. 3, when it is hard, God is still good. And when it is hard, God will still be glorified. One meaning of the word still is continuity. It is often used to emphasize that something remains true and unchanged. God is always true, and He remains unchanged. When we go through hard times, it's important to remember these truths. I don't have this verse to show on the screen today, but we know Hebrews 13:8. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I added the word still to my 4 points. Why did I add the word still? Because sometimes we can forget that these 4 points are true. We let the weight of hard times take us down hard. It's like if you go to the beach in the ocean and you crash the waves crashing upon you. That's how hard times can feel sometimes. Our minds can go astray. We can start handling the situations in our flesh. Rely on our own wisdom and strength. We basically can stop living by faith in our God when it is hard. My first point, God's presence is still with you. The Bible emphasizes that God is always present during hard times. We're never alone as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture offers continual comfort and guidance, showing again and again that God's presence remains with His people. Through conflict and danger, through pain and sorrow, through personal struggle and uncertainty. You want a reminder that there's no place where God is not present? I've always loved Psalm 139. Psalm 139, David wrote these words to assure us that it's impossible to escape His presence, love, and guidance. And I'll read Psalms 139, verses 7 through 10, and this is what it says. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Amen. And so I was thinking about this message, and a lot of people in the Bible went through hard times, had hard lives. And I was sitting at home on the Saturday before Easter. And for those who turn on the TV on the Saturday before Easter, you turn on ABC at night. They've been showing the same thing for decades, the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. And so every year I turn it on, it's on, and I always watch a little bit of it. I remember watching it as a little kid, and I still think it's a great movie. And I was watching, and it dawned on me, Moses had a hard life. He had many hard times. It wasn't easy for Moses. Sometimes Hollywood or people think Moses was a big 6'8" strongest guy and everything was easy and he just flexed his muscles and everything was easy for him. But he had a really hard life. And so I'll be talking about Moses today. And we know that he was chosen by God to confront Pharaoh, to demand the release of the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. But think about his hard life. One, he was born into slavery and was threatened by genocide. Remember, Pharaoh wanted to control the Israelite rapid population. And what did he want? He ordered all the Hebrew male infants to be killed. But thank God for his mother. God gave her wisdom. She hid him in the basket in the Nile River, and then he was saved. But that's not an easy way to start your life. He had dual identity. He was raised in the Egyptian royal family, but he was born to Hebrew parents. The internal conflict he must have had inside as he lived his life. Well, he fled Egypt as a murderer, spent 40 years in exile away from his family, his people. Remember, Moses saw the Egyptian beating the Hebrew slave? He intervened and killed him. And then Pharaoh found out and sought to kill Moses, to execute him, and Moses fled for 40 years. Then the Lord appeared to him in the burning bush, asked him to confront Pharaoh, to let the people go. Let my people worship in the wilderness, God would tell him, Moses. But Pharaoh, was he easy to deal with? He was difficult. He was arrogant, stubborn, a cruel oppressor. And he refused to let the Israelites go multiple times. Instead, he increased their workload, made them suffer even more. And Moses had to deal with that. Then when God led them out of Egypt and they went into the wilderness, how long did they spend in the wilderness? 40 years. We know if everything went perfectly, it would have been about 2 weeks. Think about that for a second. It was a period marked by hardship, scarcity of food and water, constant complaints from the people. His patience was tested. His leadership skills were tested. Think about the amount of people he had to lead. We're not showing the verse today, but Exodus 12:37 says there are about 600,000 men on foot besides women and children. Times that by two, you're way over 1 million. And he's responsible for everybody. He's the leader. That is not easy. Then he had his doubts and insecurities, right? He didn't want to be a leader. He was reluctant to accept the role. He complained about his speaking abilities. And then he had to deal with rebellion and idolatry from the Israelites. Who can forget the golden calf? And he had to deal with that. Moses had a hard life. I think we can agree upon that. But despite his hard life, God's presence was always with him. I love the calling in Exodus chapter 3, verses 11 through 12. So God called Moses from the burning bush. We know this story very well. And Moses is reluctant to accept God's calling. But God's trying to reassure him. God's trying to comfort him and give him confidence with the promise, I will be with you. In verse 11, it states, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. As you read through the story of Exodus and all of Moses' life, through the books of Numbers and Deuteronomy, what talks about all that he went through and all he endured, God continually reassured him of his presence. Again, from Moses' early life, God was there. He saved him as an infant. To God in the burning bush speaking to him. His presence is always there. When he was dealing with the Pharaoh who was by his side, who displayed the mighty acts of the 10 plagues, it was God with Moses. When the Israelites were in the wilderness, God always continually spoke to Moses. I love when the Bible says he spoke to him as a friend. And God constantly reminded him, I will guide and I will direct and my people will make it to the promised land. See, dear Christians, we are like Moses. We have a calling. The calling is to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But then your calling is to serve him with all your heart. To use the gifts and the ministries he gives you. To roll up your sleeves and give 100%. Moses gave 100%. But like Moses, God's presence is with us during hard times. I'm so grateful in my hard times of life, God has been present. Through the last couple years at the hospital, multiple times facing family difficult situations. And bowing my head by a loved one. Praying, Lord, I know you're by my side as I cry. When I'm at work and I'm stressed dealing with people and I don't know what to do, God reminds me, Rick, I'm in the meeting with you. You have to present today if you're in front of people? I'm right by you. When my daughter Kayla leaves the home in the car to drive away to see her friends and do an errand. Sorry, Kayla, you've been driving for a year. It's still hard. But you know what God reminds me when she drives away? You're not there, but I am. My presence is with Kayla. Rick, I gave her to you. She was mine first. I knew her before you did. You saved her when she asked you to save her. She is your child, but she's mine first. And I have no problem with that, Lord. Brothers and sisters, when it is hard, God's presence is still with you. Amen. Second point, God is still in control. And we know the Bible shows that God's always in control, especially during hard times. And God always backs up his words with actions, doesn't he? He doesn't just talk it. He always backs up his words with actions. I'm always in control. In Exodus chapter 6, it ends with Moses speaking to the Lord, and he questions why Pharaoh would listen to him. And then the beginning of Exodus chapter 7, God's sovereignty shows that he's over Pharaoh and Egypt. God empowers Moses and Aaron to confront Pharaoh, making it clear that Moses speaks with God's authority. Someone wrote, this establishes a divine order, God working through Moses and Aaron, showing that Pharaoh was not facing human demands, but God's direct commands. It wasn't Moses' thoughts, it was God's. This reinforces that God is fully in control of the situation. Exodus chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Note the eyes in this section of Scripture. Then the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. You are to say everything I command you, and your brother Aaron is to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of his country. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my signs and wonders in Egypt, he will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt with mighty acts of judgment. I will bring out my divisions, my people, the Israelites. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites out of it. You know, I've been studying this portion of Scripture the last couple of weeks, and everything the Lord says, declares, comes to pass. Nothing that he says didn't come to pass. God demonstrated his complete control through his powerful signs and acts. He sent the 10 plagues to display his power over the Egyptian gods. The Egyptians had many false gods. Well, in fact, Pharaoh was considered a god. The god was over them. God hardened Pharaoh's heart to reveal his authority. Remember, he said, I will do it. He parted the Red Sea to deliver the Israelites for protecting from the army. Who cleared out the sea? Who made it a dry land? Oh, wait a minute. They're in the wilderness. Who supplied their food? The manna from heaven. God. Who led them with the pillar of cloud by day and by fire by night? That was God. Through all this, God showed himself as their protector and leader. God is our protector and our leader in our lives, in your homes. God was always in control. Isn't that beautiful? Think about it. When you go through hard times, and they're not easy. But God's in control of your situation. When you're a Christian, when you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and he lives in you, you can have that confidence. The world does not have that confidence, and we need to always pray for those in our lives who do not know him. But for the Christian, God's always in control of your situation. No matter how hard it is, trust me, I've had hard times. Let us not forget how powerful he is. Let's not forget how great he is. Pharaoh thought he was in control. The Egyptians thought their gods would be in control. They fled at his presence. They had no say in the situation. Remember, when it is hard, God is still in control. Amen. My third point, God is still good. This can be a hard one when you're going through hard times. I had a passing of a sister about 5 years ago. The day after she passed, I took a walk. I'm in the hills where I live in Danville, and I sat on a bench, and I was, you know how it is when you have a loss and your mind's going a mile a minute. And I put on a Christian song, and I prayed, and the Lord said, you know, I had these bad thoughts. You know, God, why did this happen, right? Is God still good to my family? God whispered in my ear, he goes, am I still good, Rick? Am I still good? You know, I sat there and I talked out loud and I said, Lord, I cannot sit here and say that you are not good. I am hurting right now. I am in pain right now. But those words cannot come out of my mouth. Because in my heart, I know he's still good. He's always good. Psalms 100 calls all people to honor God. Not just God's chosen people, the Israelites, but God's love and self-revelation extend to everyone. And knowing who God is and what he's done for you should always inspire you with enthusiastic praise, like Caitlin's song this morning. Let's read Psalms 100, verses 1 through 5. Shout for the joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. That's what we do on Sunday morning, don't we? Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. I don't mind being a sheep. Next verse, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen. So we know the Bible emphasizes that God remains good despite hard times. So when someone asks you, why is God still good, Rick? Well, first of all, the Bible teaches that God alone is perfectly good. Goodness is part of his nature. He does what is right, holy, and righteous. His intentions are always good. His actions are just. His plans always have a purpose for a believer, don't they? And they lead to good outcomes for the believer. God can use anything for his good. Secondly, well, why is he still good, Rick? Well, just look at my first 2 points. God's presence is still with you. That's good enough. The second point, he's always in control. Doesn't that make God good in your eyes when he's in control? You know he's in control of your situation? May I add that he's still good because you can find solace in his promises throughout the Bible, which offer hope and courage during hard times? Think about your hard times. What do you need during hard times? You need hope to get it through. You need courage. Because sometimes the hard times, the Lord's telling you to walk, and you don't want to. You want to leave the door, leave the house, open the door, and leave the house for the day, or get up. We need hope and courage during hard times. God provides that. We have a God who's faithful to his children. He was faithful to the Israelites and Moses, and he's faithful to you and I. God is still good because his presence is still with us. He is good because he's in control. He is good because he fulfills his promises. He is good because he's faithful to you and I. Amen. Oh, but the Israelites, we talk about this all the time through the years. They forgot God's goodness. Through their journey in their wilderness, they displayed forgetfulness regarding forgetting God's provisions and deliverance. They were freed from slavery, but they forgot. They complained about their circumstances. They longed for the food in Egypt despite their sufferings there. Moses faced challenges with the people's lack of faith, especially when they worshiped the golden calf. Remember, he was getting the commandments and he came down and he saw what they were doing. Their pattern of forgetfulness was part of their narrative, part of their story. They struggled to remember God's goodness during their times of hardship. Dear Christians, we can be the same. If you admit it to yourself, if you've ever been through a hard time, there's probably times you forgot God's goodness. You probably complained and whined at a pity party, right? You probably started making your own decisions how you were going to solve the situation in your own wisdom. You probably got angry, complained to God. We've all been there. I admit it. Let's not forget that God is still good. The world will want us in our minds to say that God is not good. Our enemy will come and whisper in our ears, God is not good anymore. Our own thoughts will lead us astray. We think too much sometimes. The thoughts, God doesn't care about you anymore. God doesn't love you. God's not by your side anymore. You know, maybe you're really into sin, you know? God's punishing you, right? We all sin, we have to confess. But the enemy will come along. Something's wrong with you. Let's not forget, during hard times, God is still good. Claim it when you're going through hard times. Do not forget like the Israelites. Amen. My last and fourth point, God will still be glorified. Someone wrote, the phrase God will be glorified signifies the recognition and exaltation of God's nature and deeds. In the biblical context, it often refers to the manifestation of God's glory through his actions. Think about Moses' life. God was always glorified despite the hard times. He was glorified through his presence and control. Again, I go back to those 2 points. Because all of this wraps in a nice, beautiful picture, a gift to us. From the plagues, God glorified himself to show he was more powerful. From the parting of the Red Sea, he showed he was more powerful. God shows he's powerful. He performs miraculous events in his people's lives, in you and my life, so that we would glorify his name. You know, the Israelites did forget through their journey like we did, but I always loved what happened after the Red Sea. When God took out the Egyptian army once and for all. What did they do after they crossed the Red Sea and they saw what happened? They glorified him in a song of praise, celebrating and praising God for his mighty deliverance. In Exodus chapter 15 is the praise of what happened after the Red Sea. And I won't read the whole thing. I'll just read verses 1 through 2. But it's a reminder, when God gets us through hard times, I hope that we give him this kind of praise. The Moses and the Israelites sing this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both the horse and the driver he has hurled into the sea. We know this is the Egyptian army. Verse 2, the Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. You know, during hard times, it can be difficult to see how God is being glorified. Our minds wrestle with the question, why is this happening? I know we've all asked these questions. When will this be resolved, right? We want this done quickly. How would I get through this, right? Sometimes it's like, oh, how am I going to get through this? Yet when we live by faith, God is already glorified because we're trusting in him. We're trusting in his presence. We're believing he's in control. Don't you want to touch God's heart by he sees the faith that you know he's in control? Don't you want to touch God's heart by acknowledging that he is still good? That glorifies his name. That's what the Bible is for. So many beautiful stories like Moses and other godly people, men and women who went through hard times, the Israelites, but God glorified himself through these hard times. And sometimes as a Christian, we may not see how God's being glorified. It can be hard for us to grasp it. You're in despair. You're struggling so hard. We have situations that affect us mentally and emotionally. We all understand that. We may not see it. We may not feel it. We may question it. But if we live by faith, we need to remember he will glorify himself in his time, in his way. We will see it, and when he does, when we praise him for it, like the Israelites did when they crossed the Red Sea, but we maybe not forget it, dear Christians. When it is hard, God will still be glorified. Amen? You know, I was thinking about this message when I was ending my last thoughts. You know, I know this room is full of people who have been through hard times. We could all raise our hands and people can share it. I guarantee you, I probably shed a lot of tears. And maybe you went through a lot of hard times before Christ, but God used it to save you. I stand up here today, 20 years of my life before Christ, I went through a lot of hard times. I question why things happened to me in my life. But you know what? God used it to save me. I don't wish anybody hard times because I know they're painful. But boy, I thank God for them because perhaps maybe if I didn't go through what I went through, I would never have been saved. I'd still be lost. 30 years later, and what am I doing? I'm making money, going on vacation, buying cars, living my life, but still be lost. So praise God if you use hard times in your life to save you. Praise God for it with being sensitive of what you've gone through. But then as Christians, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean the hard times stop. They continue. But God's presence is still with you. And so I pray for the people in our lives, for the people here today, or someone's listening online, if you are not a Christian and going through hard times, maybe God is using it to grab your attention. He wants you to seek Him. He wants you to look at the cross and see what Jesus Christ did for you when He went to the cross and paid for the sins of the world, so that you would come to Him and bow the knee and ask Him to be your Lord and Savior. So you know, if you leave this earth, where would you go? And as you walk this earth, the hard times will continue, but you will know with confidence that God is with you. Now, I was thinking about our dear sister, Jessica. Jessica is going through hard times. For those who don't know, our dear sister, Jessica, had cancer decades ago. I remember that Wednesday meeting. We had a prayer meeting to pray for her when it was announced. And she's in the hospital now, going through some procedures. Jessica's had a hard life with her health. She's always been on the prayer list for decades. Decades for her health. Now, she's had a blessed life, right? She's been inspirational and courageous in all that she's gone through. She's been used by the Lord. She's always had a heart to serve no matter what. She's always wanted to testify for Him. Even though her voice is gone, she still writes it on a piece of paper and asks people to share, right? She has beautiful parents, utmost respect to Mike and Jenny, who are by her side. Her sister Heather, who's upstairs today, is a wonderful sister, great brother-in-law and family, people that love her. She's had a great life in the Lord, but she's had a hard life. And so I thought to myself, well, if I'm going to interview somebody and ask them four questions, Jessica, I would ask these questions. I'd sit her down, I'd say, Jessica, when it is hard, is God's presence still with you? Jessica, I got a second question for you, Jessica. When it is hard, is God still in control of your life, your health? Jessica, I got a third question. When it's hard, is God still good? And my last question I ask her, Jessica, when it is hard, will God still be glorified? And you know what? I'm 100% confident her answer will be a resounding yes. Amen. It would be. Take the lesson from someone who's gone through hard times. I know all of us have been through them and will continue to have them, unfortunately, until God takes us home. But at least we have them with us, right? And so remember, dear Christians, when it is hard, remember these four points. God's presence is still with you. When it is hard, God is still in control. When it is hard, God is still good. And when it is hard, God will still be glorified. Amen. If we can bow our heads in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we praise You this morning, Lord. Lord, we can't wait to get to heaven. There'll be no hard times in heaven. But Lord, this is the life, the journey on this earth, Lord. We will have hard times, Lord. But Lord, we are so grateful, Lord, we can cling to You, Your truths, Your stories in the Bibles, like Moses, all that he went through, Lord. What a responsibility. He had hard times. But Lord, these four points You showed him, these four points in his life and in the Israelites' life, and You showed in our lives too, Lord. We are grateful for Your presence. We are grateful that You're in control. We are grateful that You're still good. And we are grateful that You glorify Yourself through hard times, Lord. We thank You for that, Lord Jesus. And as we end today's service, Lord, we ask that You would use these words to encourage us as we walk out these doors. That You protect us on the road as we go to and from. Help us through the work or school week or whatever we got going on until the next time that we meet, Lord. We praise You and we love You. In Your most precious name we pray. Amen.